I was wondering when the pastor, John, gave me the title, Feast of the Tabernacles. In school, I had always remembered Feast of the Tabernacles. Isn't that when they just kind of took leaves and they were under them a bit? And it was part of the feasts and the time at Jerusalem. And so I had a little fun this morning, and Ron helped me out quite a bit, and as did Todd, and brought in one of my arbors. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles is when they brought in an arbor, and all their feasts had taken place. This was the last festal of the feasts that were taking place in Jerusalem. But first of all, I want to take you back to Jesus. We know that everything in the Old Testament represents Jesus. And this time that I'm going to tell you about right now is Jesus had been crucified and risen. He was on the way to Emmaus, and there was a couple gentlemen that he joined. And he said, I noticed that you seem a little down, a little sad. So what has happened? And they said, haven't you heard this terrible thing that happened to this prophet, the Messiah? We just knew it was the Messiah. And he had done all these wonderful things. Jesus, yes, he had healed the sick. He had made the blind to see. He made the crippled so they could leap for joy. We just knew he was going to be our king. He fed thousands of people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. We wanted him so bad to be our king. And they crucified him. And Jesus, this is what he said. You fools. He didn't say that very often to people, but how foolish. You know the Old Testament. You know those prophecies. And right at this moment, I'd like you to help me. What are some of those prophecies that pointed to Jesus' crucifixion? You can help me. I want you to talk to me. What are some of those prophecies? I'll give you a hint and go to Psalms 22. And you can start. Pardon? Wounded for our transgressions. Exactly. What's another one? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. Any others? Pardon? The virgin shall be with a child? Yes. Cast lots for his clothing. All these things that happened. Yes. And they're going, the Bible says, their hearts thrilled within them. It was like, yes. Yes, I remember those. I memorized Psalm 22 as a child. Yes, and there's so many prophecies there that tell that this was going to happen. So as I was so glad that Ron chose for his children's story, the sanctuary service. As Jesus is expounding and he's taking them back, we know that in the sanctuary service, everything represented Jesus. You go in. You're in the outer court, and that's where the lamb was sacrificed. Where was Jesus sacrificed? Outside, on Golgotha. So then you go into the holy place. I think it's on the left was the showbread, and on the right was the candlesticks. Or do I have that switched? Anyway, they represented Jesus. Jesus came into this world as the light. But the world chose darkness over light. Jesus came as the bread. He wants us to internalize him. He wants us to bow at the cross every morning and say, Jesus, I give up my life. I want you. I want you in my life. I want to deny myself. And it's so hard sometimes. Just like we talked about in Sabbath school class this morning. Oh, how we want to. You know, we might say, oh, well, you know, John and his brother were so, they wanted to be first in the kingdom. But, you know, if we really look in our own lives, it rears its head. I know. Because in my study this week, as I was thinking, oh, how can I present this? I want it clear. I want Jesus to work through me. And I came across in my reading something that was like, oh, my word. It hit me between the eyes, and it was like, Roselle, you need to give this up. And I went to my knees, and I said, oh, dear Lord, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. But, you know, we are told in Hebrews 12:2, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. And he isn't finished with me. And I realize that. But if we don't come to Jesus every day, are we going to be able to see what we need to change for him? How he wants to live in our life? He does say, take up your cross and follow me. Okay, so we were in the holy place. Now we're going to go into the most holy place. And we have the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with gold. And over the Ark of the Covenant, we have two angels. In there we have, beside, we have the rod, Aaron's rod that budded. And we have a gold pot of the manna that represented how God was with them in the wilderness. He didn't let them go hungry. We need to beg for wanting the manna, to have that word, to get into our Bibles and see what God has there for us. So we open the lid, the Ten Commandments, God's character, God's character. Jesus is everything in that sanctuary, and they were to learn, this is Jesus. This is our Savior. This is Jesus Christ. It's all here in our Bibles about Jesus and what he wants to do for you. Do you remember when they don't seem to do it so much anymore, but do you remember the bumper stickers? People have a few cutesy things now, but there was a bumper sticker that it was like, whoa. On this bumper sticker, it said, the Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. I thought, whoa. So our God is an awesome God. And when we look at all these feasts, we see Jesus. Amen. All these feasts, Jesus. There were seven feasts. There was the Passover. And when you think of the Passover, they were going to be freed pretty soon. Moses had spent his time in the wilderness. The Lord was having him become humble. Yes, so he could do the Lord's will. And he goes, when he was asked, he goes, oh, I can't do that, Lord. I stutter. I don't have a very good speaking voice. He goes, well, you have a brother, Aaron. So, you know, I mean, we really can trust in God that he has whatever he asks us to do, there is a way for us. Okay, the Passover, that's when they needed to have blood over the mantle so that that firstborn, what did that represent? The blood of Jesus, of course. And then we go on to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Remember what Jesus said? You eat this bread and drink my blood. And some of the leaders like, oh, that's terrible. We need to kill him. He's saying blasphemy. He's saying blasphemous things. They couldn't take the truth, could they? Jesus, it was so loving and so kind that when he did take the whip and said, this house of mine is a house of prayer, not a house for you to be making money and cheating the people. And what did we see then after they were gone? We saw the lame and the blind and the children sitting in Jesus' lap. That's my Jesus. His love, his extreme love for people, for you and me. So then we come, we come to the Feast of the Weeks, First Fruits, Jesus represented, Feast of the Trumpets. And then, then there was the Day of Atonement. And whereas a lot of these feasts were commemorations, meaning you're to remember something, the Day of Atonement was different. The Day of Atonement was when people searched their hearts to see if there was any sin in them. They weren't to have any yeast in their homes. And the children would go around with a feather and make sure, you know, they were looking for any sin because the yeast represented sin. And they were to search their hearts. In fact, the Bible verse here says that if they did not seek oneness with our Heavenly Father and be rid of the sin and didn't want to, they were cut off from God's people. And it was a pretty serious thing. So when the atonement was over, everybody felt really good. And you know, when you take communion, and here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we do the foot washing, which represents it's kind of a mini baptism. Remember Peter said, oh, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. So we do this before we take the bread and the wine. And and then after that, we feel so good. We feel so clean. We feel so washed. And that's how the people felt after the Day of Atonement. So what are we going to do? We're going to party. We are going to party in a sacred way. We're going to sing praises to God. We're going to praise him for a whole week. And this is what the Lord asked them to do. And we'll go to Leviticus. There weren't too many verses that talked about Feast of the Tabernacles. But it's very, very important. Bloop. Now, on the first day, you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees. Those aren't exactly trees, but I couldn't help but think so the trees would be covering this as a booth, and of course it had to be big enough for you to stand for 7 days. And as I was reading this in the Bible, I was thinking, oh, I bet in that country, I bet there would be some bougainvillea. I love the bougainvillea in Hawaii. Every time I went to see my sister in Hawaii, I don't know how many pictures I took of the bougainvillea. There was just something about it that was so exciting to me. The colors, they came in different, brilliant, beautiful colors, because our Creator God loves color. So when I went to Home Depot. I found bougainvillea. And so I was just really excited about that. So we have some bougainvillea here. It talks about foliage of beautiful trees. Have any of you ever seen the jacaranda in California? Oh, I love the jacaranda trees. Those big, beautiful purple flowers. I remember the first time I was ever in Southern California when Ron was working at the Adventist Media Center down there. It was like, what is that? Big, large trees. And they were full of purple flowers. It was so beautiful. Palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. And I thought, willows of the brook. Now, why would they have willows of the brook? What do willows do that's really neat? My husband used to take pieces of willow and make whistles out of them for the kids. But the willows, actually, they bend easily. So I think the willows could have even been used for putting the other branches in and whatnot, because it would kind of be a tie-in of this. So, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month, which is in October. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And as we look at the care of the people in the desert, was absolutely wonderful. Ladies, can you ever imagine not having your shoes wear out for 40 years? Pretty cool, huh? Of course, I don't know. I know some women that like a variety of shoes. So now, this also was a time of year when the crops had been brought in. The canning had been done, or drying of fruits, whatever it had done. So it was a wonderful time for resting, because they had all these accomplishments taken care of. Well, so far this year, I've only got my strawberries put up. Anybody else out there freeze strawberries? Yeah? Okay. So we have time now. Time to just for 7 days to be in these booths and just praise the Lord and enjoy Him. Now, as we were studying in our Sabbath school class, we were talking about studying in Matthew 23. About how people treat each other. And during these 7 days, I'm sure there was so much visiting and so much love shown between people. And you would sing together and praise the Lord together. And we need, I think, to learn more on mingling and becoming true friends of each other. Because, you know, I'm getting older now. One of my piano students this week asked me how old I was. She's 6. So I told her. She goes, you know, you're a really very old lady. Kids are so great. They're so honest. And I love it. I love every moment of it. Someday we will we'll be young again. And so, getting together. It was, I can never say this very well. I said it once today. Anyway, it was typical pointing back into the wilderness sojourn and pointing forward to when the saved of the Lord shall be safely gathered home in the heavenly Canaan forever. Forever. The people so enjoyed this fellowship time of encouraging each other, singing together, and praising God. And camp meeting is starting in Auburn Academy, and I'm going to be there as much as I can. But one thing I love there is the singing. And right now, I would like to explain something that happened at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Over here, you would hear somebody starting a song. And then pretty soon, it was happening over here. Ah! And it was a wonderful sound because here would come maybe bass from John. I don't know what he sings. I mean David. Maybe he sings tenor. And you'd hear the different voices coming together, the rich basses, the high tenors, everything that makes harmony beautiful and gives us the sound of the Alleluia, 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 praise the Lord, Jesus loves me, Jesus. Rochelle, I want to take you back to our third church. We were excited because this was our first church that we were really on our own. Woo! So, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we were given a call to the Mountain Home Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is an Air Force town. And the base was out of town quite a ways, and they were flying F-111s. Do they still fly those? I don't know. Probably. So we were surrounded. We bought our first new home, and we were surrounded by Air Force people, wonderful people. And this is what you'd see, though, sometimes. They'd be carrying a tray of martinis down the road, you know, because it was, you know, pretty worldly place, and a lot of partying going on. So here was our house, this little, plain, simple house, and across the street was a tri-level, pretty fancy. But that's where God wanted us. Our daughter started playing with a neighbor boy. His name was Timothy. And our daughter Carrie, we had a daughter Heidi. And so they were making acquaintances, and I started taking a cake decorating class. And I'm not even a cake eater. I like pie, not cake. But it was something to do, and I did end up making cakes for this bank. But I made these cakes, and it's like, oh, what am I going to do with it now? So I started getting acquainted with neighbors. I started giving cakes away. And that was fun. It was a very good door opener to become acquainted with neighbors. So I took a cake one day to Timothy's mother. She was the one in the fancy triplex. Okay. So, oh, well, this is nice. Yeah, I've just been taking cake decorating classes. And, you know, you can only eat so much cake. And, oh, starts anyway. So she said, oh, that's very nice. Oh, well, thank you. And then one day she brought over some crackers or something, whole wheat crackers. And so we started visiting and becoming friends. I can't quite remember when we moved there, but camp meeting was coming. And, you know, when you're young, you're kind of foolish. And we had bought this puppy. It's Cockapoo. It was the cutest little black curly thing. And Ron said to me one day, it's 11 days before camp meeting, and what are we going to do with the puppy? I says, oh, don't worry. I've made a friend. Her name is Betty. She'll take care of the puppy. So he goes, well, I don't have to be at the church yet, so go ask her right now. It's 11 days before camp meeting. So I knocked on her door, and she came to the door. And I guess I'm sanguine. So I had to, she invited me in, so I went in, and I had to tell her all about camp meeting. And it's just wonderful. You go to this place, and there's dormitories, and there's classes on Christ, the Old Testament, the New Testament. There's on the Gospels, health classes. It is just wonderful. And that's where we're going. And the Holy Spirit said, look in her eyes. Oh, would you like to come? She goes, you know, I think I would. And so we talked, and I went back in the house, and Ron looks at me, and that sure took a long time to ask somebody to watch for the dog. And it was like, oh, the dog. Oh, the dog. Oh. Ron, I asked her to go with us. What have you done? It's 11 days. You know every room is going to be taken. You know, and I had to use one of his own phrases on him. You always tell me it'll work out. And what did he picture? He pictured himself in some little back room with the little puppy. Yeah, and that's what happened. And the little puppy huddled next to him. But let me tell you how God works. He works awesome. He is so awesome. Now, I knew that Betty, her husband was captain going up to be a major, or is it the other way around? Captain to major or major to captain? Okay, captain to major. Okay. So he's kind of getting up there in the Air Force world. Betty was a private person. I knew that from the beginning. And it was like, okay, she has one son. We have two daughters and me. And the dormitory rooms can be pretty noisy. And what? But, you know, when you've asked the Lord, I mean, he's told you to do something, you let him work with the details, right? Let me tell you what happened. This never happened after, and it's never happened since. We got a guest room. What? They gave us a guest room. They never gave pastors' families a guest room. That was for the people that came in to speak, you know, from the mission land or... Yeah. Whoa. And it had its own private bath and, you know, the bathroom with the shower. And she was so private that she let the closet, she had her son sleep in there so he could close the door. But that was them. That was them. So, we had a wonderful time. And I explained to her, well, you know, the food there is going to be vegetarian. It's not that all Seventh-day Adventists are vegetarian. It's just that that's what's going to be there. Oh, okay, that's okay. And she would go and she'd write down recipes, and she just had a really good time. So what did she find at camp meeting? What did people find? What was Jesus telling the men on Emmaus that they found in the Old Testament that was represented everything? Jesus. She found Jesus at camp meeting. And we can find Jesus at camp meeting. We can find Jesus right here. We can find Jesus in doing exercises. Together. But that community of, I think, you know, we might be seeing some pretty rough times ahead of us, and there's people, Jesus on the street, there's rough times for people already. Are we going to show them Jesus? First of all, we show Jesus in our home. That's where it starts, isn't it? In our church. We went back home, and Betty had never been in an Adventist church, let alone with a whole slew of Adventists at camp meeting. So I prayed and I says, okay, Lord, what do I do now? So I says, you know, we should study the Bible together. Anyway, there were meetings. She and her husband were baptized. And she became the manager of the Adventist Book Center in Idaho, in Alaska, and in Montana. I talked to her this week. I told her that I would be talking about her. She goes, well, I've retired. But I couldn't stand it, so now I'm working at the Pacific Press. So, all I can say is, from Genesis, where God created, to Revelation, where he's going to recreate the earth, between Genesis and Revelation, you're going to find Jesus. When people visit your home, do they find Jesus? So, I have a little funny throat, but I still, so much what I want to sing this morning. And anybody that knows the song, My Tribute, that can be you, Brenda. It can be you, David, Rita, Rochelle, anybody that wants to come with me to the piano and sing My Tribute. Come on. John's coming. Yeah, I did. He's David.
Anybody else? Thank you so much for everybody that came up to help. That was wonderful. To me, that was a taste of heaven. That was a taste of heaven. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Dear God, we are so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that brings us to our knees. And for our Jesus, the one that intercedes for us. Our Savior, who that when we ask for our sins, he treats us as though we had never done that sin. Because of Jesus and his perfect life, his righteousness, we are saved. And we thank you so much for that. And we thank you that Jesus is throughout the whole Bible. And we look forward to the day when we can sing together praises to our Father, to Jesus, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.